Hi guys, this is Dave Riker, and I'm here with a friend of mine. This is somebody that some of you guys may have heard of. He goes by the name of Hypnonica. And, you know, I just got done with my latest product, which is Dave Riker's Speed Seduction Language and Conversation course. And, you know, I was over at Hypnonica's house here and stopped by, and I've been working on this product for a while. And, you know, he works in this area too. I'll tell you about him in a minute. But we were talking about the product. He was asking about it. I was telling him what it is, how I developed them, and everything else. We got in a real kind of discussion about how the product was made and the techniques that were used in terms of languaging and hypnotic constructs and things of that nature. And I said, you know, I'm always asked about these subjects all the time. There's a lot of guys out there who are curious about these techniques. And I says, you know, we've got the recording equipment here. Let's set it up. Let's record this conversation, because I know there's guys out there that are interested in this stuff, interested in the techniques that go into products like this, at least the way we do it, and guys that would probably find this interesting. So I figured, you know, let's record this, and maybe it'll help you guys see how a product like this is really developed. So that's what this is about. So let me take a minute first off and introduce, you know, my friend and colleague. This guy's name, he goes by Hypnonica, and you can see him at hypnonica.org, and he is the creator or co-creator of the Sphinx of Imagination, which to me is the most epic, most amazing hypnosis CD ever conceived. And you've worked in mind sciences, hypnosis, and things like that for what?
12, 13 years.
So he's done every aspect of this. He's studied, he's worked with some of the best people in the business. He's done hypnosis on multiple levels. He's done stage hypnosis. He's done it all. And in terms of languaging and knowing about language structures, he's probably one of the best I've ever met. And I've known him for years, and he's also a friend of mine. So, you know, there's Hypnonica. And anyway, we were talking about the product. Go ask some of the stuff. You're asking just kind of what this was about and everything, or what?
Well, I think there's a number of different levels that we need to talk about when discussing this product. The first would be, I mean, there's levels of what's inside the product.
Right.
And then there's levels of what goes into building the product. And then there's levels that go into the components that make up what's inside the product.
Right, right.
So it would be best, I guess, to ask you, first of all, you know, what is the product?
Well, it's basically, you know, in its form, it's like a 140-page book and 11 CDs of audio. But it's funny, I think Hypnonica is the only person that takes longer to develop a product than I do. I've been working on it 2 years, and you're working on a product too, and for at least that long. The product is basically, there's two major chunks to it. It's a language course, and it's also a way to teach people how to have conversations. But you know, like we were talking about before, my products work on multiple levels. So this is about training people in many different ways. It's not just talking about skills, but it's working on different levels of the mind so people can, like, acquire skills and actually use it in the real world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
because some of the things that, I mean, you know, just as well as you know, just as well as I know that, you know, language is such an evasive, vague construct,
right, right,
that you can go anywhere with it. I mean, there's you want to think of language. I mean, just a word in itself could be like a car, and there's so many different components to that car. You have your tempo,
yeah,
which could be the steering wheel.
Right.
You have the tonality. You have the pitch. You have the inflection. And when I'm doing hypnosis, or I'm doing anything that I'm doing for persuasion, or if I'm working towards a certain outcome, you have to realize and have a very good control of your language and how you want to use it.
Right, right.
And so I guess one of the things that your product's doing is basically teaching people how to break that down, because
right,
it can get overwhelming.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
See, you've studied it for years. I mean, you spent years studying this stuff. And you and I and people that we know were able to just talk a certain way, you know.
We were able to learn to talk.
Yeah,
a certain way.
Well, right, and we did it in one way, and we listened to so much stuff. We had the benefit of hanging out with people that were able to talk a certain way, that could automatically and easily shift into an area where they change the way they speak, their voice inflection, they change their pacing, they changed how they paused, how they used words in a certain manner. We picked that up. Now, we got that because we listened to so many things over so many years, and we studied. I mean, you read a lot of stuff. So we took in all that information, and then it resulted in we knew how to speak a certain way. It became not a trick that we do, but it becomes a part of who you are. But for a lot of guys, I know guys that still read stuff, and they look at, you know, they might look at language or patterns or these routines that you see in the internet, right? And they think the magic is going up and spewing a paragraph out at someone. Now, I know you work in teaching guys the frames about who they have to be behind that paragraph or behind that routine in order to make it work. One of the things I've looked at is that in its best application, using language is never about reciting something you memorized. You want to be able to talk in a certain way that's as natural as, you know, you talk to your parents a certain way, your friends a certain way, your coworkers a certain way. And you, when you want to use persuasive languaging, you want to be able to just shift into a mode where it just, it's natural and it's a part of who you are. The problem is when guys look at it as an abstract thing, as like words on a page, then it sounds like a weird thing when they say it. You know, this is where guys say, I was talking to this woman and then I went into the blah, blah, blah routine or the whatever pattern, and she looked at me like I was, like I just smoked crack or something, because it was weird, because it wasn't them talking. So I figured at some point you have to look at this and break it down and say, it's a language. We have to teach these things as a language. So I took a lot of language components, things that we do. There's things that you and I know how to do really well, very easily, and very naturally, because we've learned it and worked with it over years. I just did one of them. And in that, we're able to arrive at this languaging in real time. I've broken down all these different components, and I have them as a distinct series of steps in terms of teaching them to guys. So I explain what it is, explain how to use it. I give them like strategic and tactical formulas how to use it, which is like the left brain, you know, here's what they can think about.
That's what you love.
Yeah. And then I say, look, here's an exercise. Go do this exercise. Shut the CD off and do it. Then here's an assignment. Go out in the real world and do it. And the thing is, there's language stuff in here. We haven't even talked about this yet. There's language stuff in here, like when I hear you talk, like in the Sphinx, or when I've seen you do hypnosis sessions. There's stuff that you do that you don't even realize you're doing. Like when you're talking to someone, you're in a session, you've got them in a certain mindset. I just did it, and it's something I call listing. I just list, like when you're making a point, when you say this thing, that thing, and something else. And because of that, you start to... Now, we do this all the time. We'll list three things in sequence, right? I call that listing. Now, nobody, you've heard it. Bandler did it. A lot of people we know did it, but nobody's ever said that's a skill and that's something that people do naturally when they're using hypnotic languaging. And there's a couple things like that that nobody else has really distilled. And I sat down and said, this is something that guys are using as languaging or doing. So I identified it, you model it, you teach it to guys, and you actually have them go out and learn it as a skill. And then the whole point of this is not to have somebody go out and think of 20 different little language pieces. It's to train them so they can just talk, and these things become a part of who they are. Now, it takes some work. I mean, you know, like you and I might have taken years to develop certain skills. You know, it might take guys weeks or months to go through the course. And this is something that they're designed to go through like 10, you know, then go through it twice, then go through it 10 times.
Well, it definitely takes years to master as far as that goes. I mean, but you also have to realize, and I haven't heard you mention it yet, that there's a process of being unnatural about the language.
Right.
About slowing down, about changing your patterns.
Right.
So that you're training yourself to feel unnatural at first, but then you're getting to the point where you can just slow down anytime you want.
Right.
And you have that flexibility where it just becomes more and more patterned inside your behavior, inside your language, and inside anything that you want to use as persuasion.
Yeah. It's part of your repertoire that you can just call upon at any moment.
And that's the important thing is being able to have those exercises, to do those exercises, because these are all things that, you know, we learned by trial and error to a degree.
Yes,
a lot of trial and error, a lot of listening to people, and a lot of you know, joking around with each other, doing our little patterns on each other.
We should talk about that.
Which is kind of fun.
We do that, yeah. One of the things we do, and it throws other people off, is we are constantly, like, just joking around like throwing things at each other pattern wise and everything else in a joking manner. We won't get into it too much here, but I mean, you know, we're good friends. We have other friends of ours that work in these areas, and we are constantly like throwing language constructs at each other, presuppositions, you know, and doing that in a playful way as a test, but it's fun. And it's like, it sharpens your skills. It's like sparring.
It definitely sharpens your skills. And that's exactly what it is on that level. It's little tung fu. You know, I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it keeps you in a playful conversation where you're with people, you know, that you're practicing with. So if you have someone, I guess if you're studying the course with or whatever, it's good to use these techniques so that you can master them,
right,
play with them, and they become more natural for you,
right,
in a natural kind of foundation. And I guess that's a huge point to make, is that, you know, I mean, I haven't seen the outline, but I know exactly what you're putting into it and the different breakdowns, you know. So, I mean, what you said, there's 140 pages of breaking it down.
Yeah.
And that's
the
good
usual Riker detailed fashion.
Yes, it is. The most organized man in the world. Well, next to me. But, I mean, I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, is that you've taken something that normally takes years to do. And you've broken it down into a step-by-step, because there are so many components. And I guarantee Dave Riker can break things down step-by-step. If there's ever been a more organized man in this world, it is him.
Well, and this was a real challenge, too, because when you talk about languaging, it's not a linear process, you know. So it's a real – the outline for this and arriving at this product was a real challenge, because – How do you take this complex area of language and break it down into distinct, you know, you got to get it down into small chunks so that you could teach guys little bits and pieces. Then what you do is figure out, well, what's the optimal order? You know, it's like, how can you teach something skill in terms of skill A, then B, then C, then D, hopefully so that by the time they're at skill D, they're using skill A, B, and C. You know, so that you build and build and build. And that takes a lot of time and refinement. I know that, like, when you did, for example, when you did the Sphinx of Imagination, you went through how many versions of the outline?
Hundreds,
right.
Felt like thousands.
Yeah, and I, you know, he literally spent years and years on it, guys. I mean, I saw all the working copies of it and all that stuff. And although this isn't complex on the same level, it was a matter of taking something that people do naturally and saying, how can I break this down into little chunks and form an outline and to teach people in a way that, you know, these things build on each other step by step.
But those were the techniques that I used to build the Sphinx with.
Right.
So those all had a play in the creation of that.
Right.
And the understanding of language. And once, the more you understand about the tempo, the language, the shifting, the pauses, the more you're going to understand and be able to create something and create a more useful language persuasion that you want to use.
Right. Yeah, I am. The thing is, and for you, that's kind of almost automatic. It's not like when you're using language in a certain way, you're not sitting there going, in a moment I'm going to drop my tonality, or in a moment I'm going to use this. You just, it's natural for you. It's like driving a car and knowing I'm going to shift the gears at this point, I'm going to move the steering wheel at this point. Those things become automatic. On some level, like I use the analogy, like in a car, the aspect of working on the brakes and the gas and all that is something that's automatic now. Now, you think about navigation, where you want to go, like you're driving to work or you're driving to, you know, a store or whatever, but the details of driving the car, the gas pedal, the brake pedal, the steering, looking at the mirrors and all that, is automatic. That's the same thing in terms of language. It's good to think about, where do you want to go? Where do you want to take the conversation? What kind of outcome are you looking for? But the details about pausing here, using a presupposition there, using this kind of tonality shift here, using a command at this point, using listing at something, doing something where you're linking things to you. There's new linkage techniques in here, too, that I get into in a lot of detail, that get into some physical, like, what do they call it? Like marking, or you're marking stuff off and marking yourself off. Real easy to do. Those things should be automatic. just like I'm going to hit the brake automatically when there's something in front of me. All these details, I want guys to just, you know, get trained to do it. So that's why there's such an emphasis on training in this thing.
All right, so knowing how organized you are and how natural it probably was for you to do this, like, I mean, that's a huge step to accomplish, to break something like that down into a teachable format.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you, what made you even think about doing that?
Well, it does a couple, it works on a couple levels. I wanted to do it because I saw this as a real need out there for guys to learn how to do this stuff automatically. And the challenge is that there's a lot of people that talk about languaging, that talk about these techniques, but I haven't seen much in terms of a training regimen, an actual step-by-step training regimen. And I think I've developed some educational techniques in here and have applied some that really help in terms of, you know, breaking it down and working a lot on multiple levels in terms of finding a way. The need was developed because I saw we need to incorporate left brain stuff and right brain stuff. I need to work with guys on a level where their conscious mind is being addressed and their subconscious mind is being addressed, which is why this thing works on so many levels.
Now, why
or it had to.
Why would... To me, I have an understanding of how that works.
Right.
But why would the average person go, hey, cool, I want to listen.
Why should I care?
Why should I even care?
Well, yeah.
Basically, I want to go meet a girl. What usefulness is this going to have?
Right, yeah. Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of guys that, you know, guys that, like, they want to meet somebody or they want to be good with a certain area of their life, and all they do is think about it. They read a lot, they talk a lot, and all they do is think about it. They could talk about techniques, patterns, what do they call it, routines and all that. They think about it. They're good talkers, right? But when they're there in the moment, they can't do it. Why? Because it's all a part of the conscious mind. They're sharp. They're smart guys. And they're keyboard jockeys. It's part of their conscious mind, but is it programmed into them? Is it something they could just do automatically? And the answer is no. They could talk about it. They could analyze it. They can critique. This is what I love. The guys on the internet that, like, they can't meet anybody, but yet they can critique everyone else, you know. They could think about it consciously, but yet they can't go out and do it if their life depended on it. Why? Because their subconscious hasn't been rewired. They haven't been reprogrammed with the skills. Now, you work on that in terms of inner game and setting frames up with guys, and you're very good at that. I wanted to work on this in terms of their subconscious, in terms of getting their subconscious programmed with a certain skill set. Just like when you talk, you don't have to think about the words to use or think about how to put sentences together. It's part of your subconscious now. You just do it. Similarly, I figured if I'm really going to make this product work, I have to work on multiple levels. So I give their conscious mind something to do, or I give their analytical side something to do. There's descriptions, there's strategic formulas, there's tactical formulas, there's some diagrams, like in the conversational management sections. It's all valuable information, and it gives their left brain something to do. It gives them something to chew on. At the same time, I'm reprogramming their subconscious. So this is like, your products always work on multiple levels. Mine are working on multiple levels, is that on one hand, I'm giving him a technical explanation of something. And while I'm giving him a technical explanation, I'm also using language techniques, using hypnotic constructs, opening loops, closing them later on. I'm doing this all at the same exact time.
So you're demonstrating what you're talking about.
Yeah. So this is one level, there's a technical explanation, which gives their analytical side something to do. On another level, I'm demonstrating the very techniques. So if I'm talking about slowing down, I'm demonstrating it there. In another level that I don't even talk about in the course, I'm actually reprogramming them. I'm using hypnotic constructs so that I'm actually reprogramming them or working to reprogram them subconsciously. So I've got that level going on. So, you know, this is why people go, like, how long have you been working on the product you're working on now? A long time. Longer than I've been working on mine. People go, why does this take so long? People, like, there's people saying, why is your product done, Eric, right? Why don't you just turn on the recorder and start talking?
Well, I think a lot of it, yeah, just talk. You know, a lot of it comes down, A, to being that I think both me and you are both perfectionists to a degree, that we want people to have the best product out there and to represent ourselves in that type of way. Or we could just go out there and, like every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and just throw a recorder on and talk.
Right.
But there's no real preciseness to what's going on.
Right.
And I think what happens is when you start to really learn the preciseness and really get into the language and the subtleness of the language, and really like throw even sleight of mouth terms out,
right,
which are basically just, you know, utilizing words in different ways that allow the person to think one thing but actually do another. I mean, it's just a way of really training them at the same time while you're listening to it to give them a model for their
right.
unconscious mind to adapt to. Because when I'm doing the Sphinx and I'm doing the triple layer presuppositional language, which means there's three or four possible meanings on each sentence, okay, I'm teaching them through demonstration,
right,
how to talk in those terms.
That's the thing. Guys tie these skills into like, God, I've got to learn how to get women. And it's so important to them that they don't have any fun with it. And you and I are always like, you know, joking around about this stuff. We use this in different areas of our life so that when there is somebody that you find interesting and you want to use the skills, boom, it's not a big deal. And that's, again, why there's this training. But
you got to have fun with it, you know,
right,
on that level. And once you get to the point where you learn the techniques, you learn the behaviors, you learn about reframing. Do you talk about reframing?
Not specifically, no. This is very much in the line, because, you know, guys like you that deal with that a lot. But, you know, I get down to the low levels of the languaging stuff. I figured, look, you know, we could talk about a lot of sleight of mouth stuff and different things. But I figured, you know, what are the core techniques that if they get these down, they're on their way? And that's what I did. I picked like about, you know, 15, 20 language techniques and everything else. Some of the things that I think are very powerful that guys do, that people in this area do automatically but have never been distilled.
Like, give me a couple examples.
Like the thing about listing. Like, you know, when you're talking to someone, if you're influential, if you're persuasive, if you're the sort of person where they hang on every word, then it tends to be more effective. What did I just do? I listed three reasons why a person would be fascinating. I just rattled them off, right? I call that listening. You know, you've heard things like in sales, they talk about get somebody to say yes.
The yes.
Yeah. Well, this is similar in that if you're giving people reasons for stuff, or if you're talking and you want somebody to listen to you, you want them to pay attention, you want them to really get what you're saying, I just did it. You give them three reasons. Even it could be a small list like that. It could be a long list like where you talk about each item for 5 minutes. That's an example. I've got a technique in here called easy linking, where you use little words like this and that and to link things to yourself. Little, you know, people talk about anchoring and linking things, and I've seen guys do this, and they're pointing all over the place, and they're pointing to their ears and their arms and nose and mouth, and they're pointing all around the room trying to anchor stuff. I'm like, look, let's go for the 80-20 rule. You've heard that from sales, like 80% of your revenue is 20% of the people or whatever. What's the techniques in terms of linking and anchoring that I think you get the biggest bang for the buck with, that are very easy to learn, and that's, I've distilled those. I'm like, look, you know, sure, you could take anchoring courses for years, and it's powerful stuff. But, you know, let's get you something that's really powerful, that's very simple to do. And I distilled that. And it's something that people do naturally. I tell guys, turn on the TV and watch certain types of people, and you'll see them use certain types of techniques. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff in there. But, you know, but that's why it takes a year and a half to do an outline.
Now, what else? I mean, because I know those are good techniques. What else? I know you know a lot about language, and you know definitely a lot about breaking things down. But I'm more curious about, you know, what are the other techniques and describing them? Because you said there's 15. Are you using inflections?
Yeah.
Can you talk about the inflections?
Yeah, I taught, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of guys, again, you could take voice training, and there's people that have tons of courses about voice, but, you know, learning how to use your voice most effectively. You've met these guys that are so bland and monotone that it's like, I can't stand to listen to them for 2 minutes. Learning how to put energy in your voice. There's times that you could be really calm. There's times you have more energy and more passion in your voice. And to be able to just be aware of that and do it. So many guys are so uptight that they can't show any passion or any awareness of having energy in themselves. So I really break that down and give guys exercises. You know, it's like,
for,
you know,
more voice flexibility.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you get a subject, like if you're a football fan, can you talk about football for 30 seconds and be excited about it and passionate about it? Yeah. Well, what's an area of your life that is totally boring to you, like tablecloths? You could care less about tablecloths. So talk about that in a really boring fashion for 30 seconds. Then I tell guys, okay, I'm going to mix it up. I want you to talk about football, but make it sound really boring for a minute or two. Then I say, well, now take some area that you could care less about, like tablecloths, and make it sound like you think it's the most exciting thing in the world for 30 seconds. You know, practice. Become aware of these things and break it down. So I talk about voice. I talk about inflections. I talk about pausing. I talk about the speed at which you're talking. You know, some guys talk really fast all the time, and it's really hard to follow them, and they don't vary their pace or anything like that because they're talking a million miles an hour constantly. Some guys are too slow.
Which can be useful if you learn flexibility.
If you learn flexibility, right. And so if you're aware of this and you get some range to you, it's not to sit there and go, I'm going to slow down now or I'm going to speed up now. It's just have this available as part of your repertoire. So I talk about things like commands. I talk about linking. I talk about listing. I talk about easy linking, anchoring stuff to guys. There's a whole list of stuff. I don't have the outline in front of me. But I get into all these other techniques just to help guys out. Even the thing like listing, where you're listing several things, there's two or three variations on that. That the one thing that's really tough for a lot of guys, this whole idea of structuring opportunities and offering challenges, that sounds very general and nebulous. You know how to do it. It makes sense to you, but how do you really break that down so that guys can learn what that means and how to do it in a formulaic fashion, and then teach it to them bit by bit so that it becomes automatic? And that's what I've done, or at least
actually,
did a good attempt at.
I'd be more inclined to know how you actually broke down the language to an outline, to an audio, to a book.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I was hanging around when you were doing the Sphinx and stuff like that. I took all these different languages.
You thought to yourself, boy, that looks fun. The nine hours a day frying your mind out.
I know.
That looks exciting.
I went through like 87 different outlines of this and tweaking it and working on it and refining it. You know, I took all the different, just in a language section, all the different things I wanted to teach. And it's like, you teach number, you know, you try doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you realize, well, wait a minute, the fifth thing incorporates some aspects of the sixth thing, so maybe I want to switch the order of that. And then you try to, you know, you play with the order, and then you figure out how do you refer back to stuff. When you're teaching the sixth item, you want to teach it to them, but also use them to incorporate, get the person to incorporate the items they've already learned while they're learning item number six. So item number six. So I worked on the outline a long time just to figure out the order of stuff.
That's kind of one way that you can really tell that someone cares about putting out a good product, because there are people that put out the product that just throw it together that don't catch those things.
Right.
And then they later on screw up the person listening down the line because
right.
It doesn't make sense.
We've both listened to products like that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's frustrating. And I work with the outline like that and refine it and refine it and refine it. Then you take an area that you want to talk about. And what I end up doing is it like, you know, for, you know, 10 CDs worth of audio, I had my outline ended up being on the order of about 90 pages. So you end up with about 9 pages of outline for a 1-hour CD. Now that's not this outline, again, I talked about these multiple layers. So the outline is talking about what I'm going to talk about, but it also has hints to me. God help anybody to try to make sense of my outline. It has things like open a certain loop here, talk about this, refer back. I'll have like little notes in there to do some things like in using hypnotic constructs of languaging. So I'll open things up in their head to help them learn things. So the outline is not just a paper outline that I would give to a student. It's an outline for the audio. So I worked on this outline and refined it. So you end up with all these pages. So I'd go into a recording outfit, and I have like a recording setup booth at home. So I'm going to record an hour. So I've got, you know, 9, 10 pages of notes, and I'm sitting there working with it. And it's really, the tough thing is too, my recording sounds very off the cuff, like very informal. But you know how tiring this is, because when I'm doing this, I'm working on, you know, 3 or 4 different levels at once, but I have to make it sound very conversational, very friendly, very fun, because somebody's going to sit there and listen to this stuff for an hour, and I don't want to be, you know, all studious and everything else. So it's really tiring. And, you know, you record an hour of something, you listen to it, it's not right. You wipe it out. You do it again. You might record that hour many times over, but I would work on that level and refine it and get it down so I had the audio recorded. Then
that's a useful thing, though. That's one of the most powerful things, I think. I don't know if you talk about it or not, but recording your own voice and listening back to it, that's amazing.
Yeah. My voice is shot because I've been working on recording so much and talking so much the last couple of days, but you're right. It takes a lot of work to do the audio correctly, and even for me, even more so, if you want it to sound really informal and have that energy, because, you know, your products, a lot of times, you know, some of the ones you've got out there already are very hypnotic. You want the person to go into trance and they're out. I'm working on something where I'm trying to keep their conscious mind occupied. So I'm doing something that's very upbeat, very, you know, sounds very off the cuff.
Conversational.
Sounds very, but on another level, I'm working with them in a whole different way, and it's very challenging. So I'd record it, you know, and do editing, and you know how this is. You work with it, you sweeten the audio, you work with the dynamic range, you assign tracks. I mean, you know, and I do something where an hour's worth of audio will have 40 different tracks to it, and I do that for many reasons. But one of the reasons is to make it easy for guys to find stuff in the workbook. So then I take the outline, I take the audio, and then I go back and make a workbook out of it. And my workbook ends up being like 130, 140 pages, and that's where it has all the exercises.
So
and
the
all
workbook
that sort of stuff.
Directly links to your audios.
Yeah, definitely.
So it'll say look to page.
Yeah, the workbook. Right. If you go in the workbook, you'll see track numbers. It'll say like, you know, disc 4, track 27.
That's just way too much.
But this is the right brain, left brain thing. This is where, you know, I want guys to look in the workbook and read along and listen to the, you know, can they listen to the audio in the car? Yeah. But at some point they need to sit down with the audio and while they're looking at the workbook, because it's, again, that, again, multiple levels. They're reading something that says it one way, and what's in the workbook is like an outline, but not the outline I use. It's an outline that's for the student. And so the outline in the workbook is addressing their brain in one way while they're listening to it in another. Plus, the workbook has places where they have to write stuff down. There's actual assignments to say, you know, write this down. You know, we talk about, you know, what are things that you're passionate about in life you could speak of passionately? I'm like, write them down in the workbook, you know, and then you're going to talk about them and do certain exercises on them and everything else. So
what do you think the biggest challenge for someone using this product is?
Well, it's, you can listen to it once or twice and get something out of it. The thing is, with any product like this, especially a training product like this, is you're going to get what you get out of it is proportional to what you put into it. So I can joke about that, but I mean, if somebody listens to it two or three times, are they going to get a benefit? Yeah. But if somebody is willing to listen to it, do the exercises, do the assignments, put energy into it, then they're going to get more benefit. And this is designed for them to go through it like many, many times. They can go through the whole course, do all the assignments, then go through it again and do it again and again. It's like retraining yourself and to get the training in a better and better and deeper level. So the challenge, I think, is guys being honest with themselves. You listen to it a couple times to get a benefit. If you want a lot more benefit, it's proportional to the energy and effort that you put into it. And if they're willing to put more and more time into it and to actually go out and do all the exercises and assignments, then they're going to see a pretty dramatic result.
So what do you think the actual, to get a good result, how many times would they have to go through it and what hours? Because I know this is something, the way we did it, took years and years and years.
Yeah.
So like, let's say that, you know, where I started from to where I am now, if I had this book, it would, you know, say, I don't know, 12, 14 years, somewhere around there, but how much of that you think would have shaved off?
Oh, a lot. Especially the first couple years. This is a roadmap that, like, instead of those first three or four years where you're, like, studying stuff going, how's this work? Or wait, how are they doing it? And it's like, I understand it, but I can't do it yet. Getting to that point would happen a lot faster. You know, the language stuff that it would normally take a lot of guys a couple years to learn to just, you know, to get so they could do it automatically, they could do it in a couple months with this. And literally, that's what it is. And the thing is, too, remember I used to do the coaching? Mm-hmm. I don't do it anymore. A lot of this stuff was developed and refined as part of the coaching process. And the need for this product was developed out of that, because the guys that were having success could be on the phone with me and just demonstrate stuff, just do it. The guys that were not having success, they couldn't. I'm like, well, what would you use in this situation? And if they said something, it was something they memorized or recited. And you could tell. You know the way guys do that, right? It's a pattern or a routine or the blah, blah routine or whatever.
Well, that's why I don't even...
Do you even go there?
In the early phase, even when I knew it, it still seemed unnatural to me.
Right.
It's because I didn't really command the language and the actual structure of it. Now I kind of go by the metaphor of, you know, it's the Stephen Covey metaphor. You have the compass and the time clock. The compass is the bomb. That's the direction you're going. You don't have to be on, but it gives you a direction. The time clock is the more precise pieces of that.
Right.
You know, so as long as they're both working together, you know, you're going to move in that function. But to me, it just didn't seem natural. And I remember I'm sure I talked to you about it. I talked to, you know, a lot of people about it, and it just wasn't flowing until you actually master the language. You can do what you want. You can learn about everything from storytelling to creating a certain structure and going into that structure and defining it to a person.
Right.
Because a lot of it is the definition and defining what you want and what you want that person to create in their own mind.
Right. It's funny you brought up about the compass, because that's the other section of the product deals with managing conversations. And that was another area that, you know, it's there was a real need. You've learned and been able to do that, where you could talk to somebody and direct the conversation in a certain way. You know, this whole, you've heard people say, talk about X, talk about Y, talk about Z, you get a result. Well, that's great. But, you know, that's not workable in the real world, because you never know. You talk about X and then she says something and you're off on another tangent. So it's good to have a general compass, like a general direction of the way you want to go. So even if you get off course a little bit, or the world throws you, you know, a little curve, you sort of have a direction you want to go in, and that's kind of the approach the conversational management section takes.
Well, which you're naturally inclined to. I mean, I think, you know, the North Pole for me, being that I've been in the industry for so long, I'm automatically go there. Every conversation somehow usually ends up in that direction. So
right.
It's where you're self-oriented to. Instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to say this, it's like, where's your deep-seated self-orientation around?
Right.
And then that helps gear you to the conversation to flow naturally.
Yeah, and it's, you know, because that's the part of who you are that's easy for you. But there's a lot of guys that just aren't used to having conversations like that. You know, they say they talk to somebody for 5 minutes and the conversation just dies. You know, and look, you know, even if you're really good at this stuff, there's people you meet and, you know, within 5 minutes you know that no matter what you say, this person's going to point out how much it sucks. Or no matter what you say, they're going to look at the negative side of things or how boring life is or whatever, or they're going to be confrontational. Well, part of this is saying, I don't want to talk to that person. Next, you know. But you learn skills, and this is what the conversational part deals with, is learn skills to, like, direct conversations in a way that you want to go. And I know there's a lot of guys say, you know, I talk to somebody for a couple minutes and, like, the conversation just dies. Or they don't know how to talk about anything other than, you know, their own interests. You know, it's like, if it's not like talking about World of Warcraft or football or Windows XP or their car, they're lost. And part of this is just having a skill set that says, no matter what topic you're on, where can you go that's going to serve you? Where can you point that compass in a way that's going to serve you? And I really, again, I broke it down. You should see, you'd laugh. Because he always laughs, like, I take these complex processes and I've got, here's a diagram that explains it. I have to show you the diagram.
I've seen the diagrams no one's supposed to.
But I, like, you know, I break it down. Like, how do conversations happen? How can you route things in a certain way? And then break it down. I model it. I break it down into its component parts. And I said, now let's work on these little bits and pieces and teach you these things so that they're automatic to you. Then let's build the parts up. So that literally... And, you know, you see people do this, influential people, people that work in politics or whatever. You could start with any subject, and they somehow get the conversation into an area where they want within a couple minutes' time. And, in fact, I've taught guys, this is another thing from the coaching, that I taught guys to do and start at any subject and get to where they want to go very quickly. In fact, the biggest risk is they do it too quickly and they break rapport.
You're good at that. I've heard you go from one thing to another. I know my style is just more direct.
You're more direct, right? You know? But you're comfortable that that's who you are. It's different ways to do a certain to have a certain talent manifest itself. You know,
and that's just not a meeting women though. That's a lifelong. You know, that's something that can be with you as a tool for life.
Right.
And that's a great communication skill.
Right. Language skills change your life. You know, be able to have fun conversations, you know, with anyone, you know, is a good thing, no matter what you do for a living. So that's about it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here. This discussion is probably different from what most people are looking for, but you get this. You did the Sphinx and you had guys, how do you do this? How did you do the languaging? How did you arrive at this? I get that all the time. There's a lot of people interested in you know, the behind the scenes stuff, how much time and effort it takes. I mean, this product took me over 2 years. Now, did I work on that 8 hours a day every day? No, but it took a lot of time. There's times I'd work on it, put it down for a little bit.
It takes a lot of mental energy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that it is language in itself, when you break it down and you get to the fine components of it, it takes a lot of mental energy to focus on that level. Once you learn that, and then you begin to build on it, then it takes over. But
right.
Breaking it down like you have,
Jesus,
that's, you know, you're in the same boat I was. After I was done with the Sphinx, everyone's like, when's the next product?
You're like, you didn't want to deal with anything.
Sphinx 2, and I said, you know.
Don't wait. Yeah, no,
don't hold
wait
up too long, because that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
To be precise like that, but that also is going to get the person listening the most benefit.
Right. Well, that's the difference. I mean, we both know people that could have done, in the 2 years I've been working on this, or the, you know, 2+ years you've been working on your product that you're working on now, we know people that could and have cranked out 5 products in that time frame.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take anything away from them. There's probably some people get some benefit, whatever, that's their style. That's fine. But with our approach and putting this much, I don't know, care or putting as much technique into what we're doing, it takes more time. It does take a lot of mental energy to do that. You and I are sort of on different sides of it. You know, you're working on one level, transit people out. You're working on just, you know, you are the inner game guru. And, you know, I'm working on another level to sort of train guys and sort of get their left and right brain working together, stop fighting each other. but yeah, it's the same level of attention to detail, I guess. But it ends up taking a hell of a long time for both of us. So, but, you know, that's
where,
our choice.
That's where it works. There's a model that we used. It's Walt Disney. And he had the dreamer, the realist, and the critic. The dreamer comes up with the concept, which is what you did. The realist is the one that makes it, you know, real and goes through it. The critic is the one that goes back and says, no, we need to change this.
Yeah.
And the cycle goes again. Goes up to, okay, well, you know, we did all these changes here. Let the dreamer flow again to make it more precise. And the realist comes in and they say, once the critic is 100% finalized and it has no critiques or it has no
right.
judgment about it, is when you have a lasting product.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I went through, because there would just be little parts. And that's, I'm sure that's what you've gone through, because you've been talking about how this is going to help guys on many different levels
yeah.
when they listen to it and when they use it, and how that's going to affect them and their inner game and their knowledge and their mastery of language and life in general. So I think that's a powerful thing that you need to let them know about that.
Yeah. And I, you know, the thing is too, I could work on this another 6 months and tweak this and tweak that and tweak this. And it just gets to the point where, like, ugh, I'm just driving myself crazy, and I'm like, how much more benefit could I possibly get into it, and is it worth having people wait that long? I've already had a lot of people wait far too long, and I promised it and everything else.
Don't even tell me.
Yeah, I know. I know. You've got a waiting list too, and same thing here. So I figured, you know, it's time to, you know, it's. I'm quite satisfied with it. You know, it's time to wrap it up and get the thing out there and hopefully benefit some guys.
And let me tell you, quite satisfied from a Dave Riker position means it's thoroughly okay. Okay, because I know how...
Diagrams and technical stuff and all,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's probably he didn't put a pause in the right position. So, on that level, no one will ever notice.
All right. So that's about it. Anything else?
That should do it.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, hopefully this helps some of you guys out there. And no, guys are curious about things on this level. Hopefully this helped to, I don't know, satisfy some of those curiosities and get more of an understanding of what it really takes to put out a product like this. You know, check out my buddy's website, hypnotica.org. Sphinx of Imagination is hands down one of the most.
The number 19 seller on CD Baby.
Is it really number 19 on CD Baby of all time?
Ever.
It is truly amazing. All the biggest names ever have had a lot of positive things to say, and hopefully you'll have good things to say about this product if you decide it's where you want to go. So anyway, that's it for now. Good luck to you in this area of your life and all areas of your life. Take care, guys.